Bible says in Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. My name is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I'd like to welcome all of our listeners today, especially here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, North Carolina, where we record and broadcast from. And then also this radio broadcast is heard on Saturday mornings on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. That's Saturday mornings from 9 to 9:30. And I'd like to welcome all of our listeners today. Good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm good today. How are you?
Good. It's good to see you today. I appreciate Noah. He handles the production part. And I guess if you split it up, a good way to put it would be I'm responsible for the content of the radio broadcast, and he's responsible for the quality of the radio broadcast. So if it sounds good, it's Noah's responsibility, and I appreciate what he does as well on the radio broadcast. Before we get into the content today, I would like to mention our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. The reason I bring that up this morning is that we have recently uploaded a message there entitled The Coming Insurrection, and that is a message I wish everybody could hear. The Coming Insurrection, if you go to mountlebanonbc.org, there are several options at the top, but if you click on Sermons, you'll find that title under that, The Coming Insurrection. And this is a message the Lord gave me. If you'd like a biblical answer to what's going on in Libya, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, the Lord gave me a message from His Word that answers what in the world is going on with all of this protest revolution. I noticed in Wisconsin, many of the protesters up there over the past several weeks have been carrying signs, this is what democracy looks like. And that is true. That is what democracy looks like. Democracy has never worked. Our nation is not established as a democracy, but rather a republic, which is ruled by law. I won't get into all that today, but democracy is always devolves into mobocracy. The rights of the people, which we see in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, the Laodicean church age. The name Laodicea means people's rights. And so that's available. I'd like for you to go there. And when you have a little bit of time, listen to that message. That's available FYI. That means for your information. And also FYE, that's for your edification. That's a biblical word that means building up. And I believe all these signs, all these things we see going on in the world today should remind us that we as individuals should prepare ourselves and be ready for the coming of Christ that we read about in the Bible. Last week we studied the sixth founding principle. I'm following a little outline that I found in a book called The 5,000 Year Leap. There are 28 founding principles, and I've been taking these 28 founding principles, taking one each and every week, and putting a litmus test to them. First of all, a scriptural principle. Where is this found in the Bible? And showing from the Bible and from history that we, when I say we, I mean America, is founded not just upon great ideas, but it has a stronger foundation than that, and that foundation is the Word of God. So we give a scriptural principle, we give a historical example, and we try to give always a modern-day application, usually in that order. But last week, we looked at the sixth founder's principle, which is simply this: all men are created equal. I pointed out that I found no other source that the founders would have gleaned that from other than the Scripture. They got this idea from the Bible. I gave several examples last week. I'll read Acts chapter 17, and you could read verses 24 through 26. I'm going to read the first part of 24 and the first part of 26, where the Bible says, God that made the world and all things therein hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And God has made of all men one blood. All the different nations come from one blood. We all have original set of parents in Adam and Eve. And then a little bit later than that, after the flood of Noah's day, the earth was repopulated from Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it's a very interesting study. That is where the different nations of the world come from, which also entails the different color of people, what we refer to as races, but the Bible refers to as nations. But the Bible teaches that all men are created equal. This is emphatically stated in the Declaration of Independence, where the Declaration of Independence says in the second paragraph, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal." Now, I want to say today that created equal does not mean created the same. Common sense tells us it wouldn't take very long to prove that we're not all created the same. We are not the same. We are as individual as the snowflakes that fall down from the sky. Every person is a unique individual. We all have different strengths. We have different weaknesses, different talents, different opportunities, different upbringings, different heritage, different education. I mean, there are a lot of differences even between people of the same family. We're all different. So that is not what the founders are talking about when they say that all men are created equal, or that is not what the Bible is talking about when it says that God hath made of one blood all nations of men. When the founders laid the scriptural foundation of all men being created equal, it is practically borne out in three ways. I'm going to give you those three ways right now. Number one, what that means, all men are created equal, that means that we are equal in the sight of God. The Declaration of Independence, it means what it says. All men are created, that is by God, equal. It goes on and refers to their creator, certain unalienable rights, created equal in the sight of God. Being equal in the sight of God also is borne out in the principle that we find out in our society that we are to be equal in the sight of the law. What I mean by that, all men are created equal. We are equal in the sight of the law. Meaning this, the laws of our land are supposed to apply equally from the president to the poorhouse. Now, I know that there's a lot of injustice in the world. I know that there is scheming. I know that there's plea bargains. I know that there is, it could be proven, inequality. But in principle, first-degree murder applies to the president or the poorest person in America. If you steal, you come under the penalty of the law. Laws are to be applied equally across the board. There should not be favoritism in all of these things. In principle, all men are created equal. They're equal before God. They're equal before the law. And a good example of that would be Bernie Madoff. Everybody knows and recognizes that name. He's super, super rich individual. He stole, he did a biggest Ponzi scheme in history, stole a lot of money off people, and in spite of all the money that he had and all the influence and all of his riches, he is now in prison somewhere in North Carolina. I forget exactly where it is, but you know what? Justice applied to him equally. It did not matter that he is rich. Number three, this idea of being created equal, the government should represent every individual equally in the protection of our rights. So equal in the sight of God, equal in the sight of the law, and equal in the protection of our rights. The Declaration of Independence goes on and says that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. That is a capital C. That is referring to the God of the Bible. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable rights are rights which cannot be taken away. And these rights, it goes on to say, are the pursuit of life, or life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which I'll get into this a little bit later on. The pursuit of happiness is equal to the ability to be able to own property and that property be yours. It goes back to the English idea of every man's home is his castle. The pursuit of happiness, the ability to own property. Now, much could be said along these lines. In fact, Noah, as I was studying about this, I thought to myself, there's so much could be said. It is a huge, huge subject to undertake, but my goal is just simply an overview, not an in-depth analysis. Get you thinking, get individuals thinking about why we are and where we are and how we are in America. I was studying in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 7. Solomon looked out his window. He seen in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 7, what he described as a young man void of understanding. This young man did not understand what was going on. He didn't understand the implications of his actions. He didn't understand the consequences of his actions. This was a young man void of understanding. When I look around today, I see a whole society of people void of understanding, young people, old people, Democrats, Republicans, people who go to church, people who don't go to church, people who have no idea what the concept blessings of liberty really means. Now, our founders believed all men were and are created equal. This brings us up to the seventh principle that we want to begin looking at today, and that is this. I'm going to say it twice. The proper role of government is equal rights, not equal things. The proper role of government is equal rights, not equal things, which means this. Our founders intended for the government, or our founders never intended for the government to be in the business of taking from the haves and giving to the have-nots. They did not believe it was the role of government to spread the wealth or to redistribute the wealth. Now, that when you hear that idea, when you hear that phraseology in our government or among our government leaders today, talking about spreading the wealth or redistributing the wealth, that is what all this, most of this Tea Party protest over the past couple of years, this word that is thrown around accusing Mr. Obama and others in the government of socialism. Social justice, socialism, and communism are double first cousins. That's what socialism does. That's what communism does. It redistributes the wealth among society. Our founding forefathers never, ever intended for the government to be in the business of spreading the wealth or redistributing the wealth. That is socialism. Socialism leads to communism. Now, I do want to emphasize, I'd hate for anybody to be listening in and get the idea that I am against helping the poor, that I'm against charity, that I'm against welfare in its proper state. And I'll go on and further clarify what I mean by that. But the Bible does teach taking care of those who are truly in need. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs has many, many references to the poor and how to handle that. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 9, The Bible says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." Talking about somebody that is truly in need is what that's talking about. And if you take the time, I don't have time to study it all out today, but in my Bible, I'm getting ready to read through the book of Ruth. I've read through it many times before. The book of Ruth is four short chapters in the Bible. And if you read the book of Ruth, there's many spiritual lessons. But one thing you'll find in that is the Old Testament system of welfare. In the Old Testament, those who were rich enough to have farms and fields, they were admonished by the law, by God, not to reap, not to harvest the corners of their fields. And the corners of these fields were to be set aside for the poor and needy, for the widow, for the fatherless. They were to go out. They didn't have it handed to them on a silver platter, but that was given to the poor, and the poor were to go out there, and that was their lot. That was their portion. And of course, in the book of Ruth, we find that Ruth was a widow. They had no means of making a living in and of themselves, and that was their portion appointed to them by God. But let me say, what I'm talking about today, nowhere in the Bible do we find the precedent of the government being the one to take care of the poor. The government taken from one person who has and given to another person that has not. That is what our founding forefathers were against. I am against it. The government should not be in the welfare business. The book, The 5,000-Year Leap, has an excellent chapter on this subject. And I'm going to read just a little bit from that. This is a quote from the life of Samuel Adams. He said this. He said, "The utopian schemes of leveling," which back then, leveling meant what we interpret as the redistribution of wealth. "The utopian schemes of leveling and of community goods." Community goods is where the government owns the means of production and the distribution of means. It's socialism. That's what he's talking about. "The utopian schemes of leveling and a community of goods are as visionary and impractical as those which vest all property in the crown." He said, "These ideas are arbitrary, despotic, and in our government, unconstitutional." Benjamin Franklin, from the writings of Benjamin Franklin, I want to read a few things. He wrote a whole essay on the subject of what we would consider as welfare. He said, "I have long been of your opinion that your legal provision for the poor in England is a very great evil, operating as it does to the encouragement of idleness. We have followed your example and begin now to see our error, and I hope shall reform it." A survey of Benjamin Franklin's views on government welfare can be summed up like this. I'm going to share with you four things. This is directly from the book, The 5,000-Year Leap. He said in his writings, "Compassion, which gives a drunk the means to increase his drunkenness, is counterproductive." So if the government is in the business of handing out and handing out, and the drunkard can increase his drunkenness, that is counterproductive. Do you know, if you did a real honest study of welfare in this country, what you would find out is a higher rate of drunkenness, a higher rate of drug use, a higher rate of children born out of wedlock, a higher rate of generations of people that are stuck on welfare and never ever get off. That is counterproductive. The way our government, the way that it is done in this country is counterproductive. Second of all, he said, "Compassion, which breeds debilitating dependency and weakness, is counterproductive." That also goes along the lines of what I just said about being on welfare one generation, a second generation, a third generation. He said, Thirdly, compassion which blunts the desire or necessary to work for a living is counterproductive. Now, I used to be in the business world. I know a little bit about it. I cannot tell you how many stories that I have heard about somebody being on unemployment benefits, getting a check from the government every week because they don't have a job. And the opportunity of a job coming along and the individual saying, you know what, I'm better off. I make more on unemployment than I do having a job. That is counterproductive. That is not helping anybody. For somebody to have the idea, I'm better off sitting at home playing Xbox, watching soap operas, and getting my check in the mail than I am out here working and having a job. And I've heard many stories along those lines. Number four, compassion which smothers the instinct to strive and excel is counterproductive. And summary of the founders. The founders had a lot to say on this subject. They were well-read. They had deep convictions about helping others. I'm going to give you five things in summary of the founders' beliefs. This is found on page 121 in the 5,000-year leap. Our founders suggested the following. Do not help the needy completely, merely help them to help themselves. They had the idea to do something for them, but not everything for them. Like I said in the Bible, they did not glean the corners of the fields. They did not harvest the corners. The poor still had to go out there. They had to work to get what they had. Number two, give the poor the satisfaction of earned achievement instead of rewarding them without achievement. Our current system of welfare, you can do nothing and get something. It's counterproductive. Number three, allow the poor to climb the appreciation ladder from tents to cabins, cabins to cottages, cottages to comfortable houses. Number four, where emergency help is provided, do not prolong it to the point where it becomes habitual. I was watching a news story last week about the BP oil spill down in Louisiana and about the fisheries down there, those who were in the clamming business. Many of them have had to close up. And whose fault was it? It's BP's fault. And it was talking about getting money from BP, but I appreciated what one of the gentlemen had to say. I believe he was the president over an association there. He said, we don't want to sit around the rest of our lives and be paid by BP. He said, we want the clam habitat to be restored where we can get back to work. That's the American initiative right there. Not to sit around for generations and receive handouts from BP or from the government, but to get back to work when tragedy does come. And number five, strictly enforce the scale of fixed responsibility. And this you'll find is the same in the Bible. The first level of responsibility is with the individual himself. The second level is with the family. The next is with the church, then the community, then the county, and then the state if there's a disaster or an emergency and more help is needed. But it goes on and says, under no circumstances is the federal government to become involved in public welfare. The founders felt it would corrupt the government and also the poor. No constitutional authority exists for the federal government to participate in charity or welfare. I wanted to read just a little bit more, one more thing from the writings of Benjamin Franklin. He said, to relieve the misfortunes of our fellow creatures is concurring with deity. It is godlike. But if we provide encouragement for laziness and supports for folly, may we not be found fighting against the order of God in nature, which perhaps has appointed want and misery as the proper punishments for and cautions against, as well as necessary consequences of idleness and extravagance. Whenever we attempt to amend the scheme of providence and to interfere with the government of the world, we had need to be very circumspect lest we do more harm than good. And I think it could be proved from study that many times, most of the time, the welfare system in our country has proved to do more harm than good down through the years. Not only are we fighting in this day and time huge, huge deficits, which much of it comes from personal welfare, but now we have in our day and time what I've heard termed, and I think's a good way to put it, corporate welfare, where businesses come to the government with their hand held out. And the government says, oh, these businesses, these banks, Wall Street, GM, Chrysler, they're too big to fail. We, as the government, will help them out. A lot of people don't realize the government produces nothing. The government makes no profit. Any money the government gives away, it took from somebody who is a producer in society, takes from the taxpayer. I found a little quote from Benjamin Franklin. I'm reading a book. I found it at the bookstore. It was in the dollar bin. You know, when you find something in the dollar bin, you think to yourself, well, that can't be worth anything. But I picked it up and took it home. It was only a dollar plus tax. Anyway, the name of this book is National Suicide. And I began to read it. I cannot remember right now who the writer is. I think the last name is Gross. But anyway, maybe I'll bring it and share it later on. I found a little quote in there in the book National Suicide. Benjamin Franklin once warned us that when Americans learn that they can vote themselves money, the republic is finished. And how many generations now have Americans been voting themselves money? Vote in the politician that will bring home the bacon. That's where the pork barrel business comes from. And I'll tell you, it's coming home to bite us. But I ask myself the question, and I ask you today, maybe you're asking, what in the world is happening in America? Or what is happening in America? I won't put it in a question. I'll put it in a statement. What is happening in America is the destruction of the producing, contributing segment of society. The producers in society are the independent workers who go out here. They have an honest day's work. They get paid an honest wage. The small business person, I try to encourage everybody, support your small businesses in the community. Once they're gone, they're gone. The entrepreneur in society that wants to start a business and maintain a business and have employees and pay them, this segment of society is continually under attack. But this is the producing segment of society. The government, federal, state, and local, has its hand out all the time, wanting more, more, more. Now, tack on top of that, Wall Street, banks, unions, government unions, wanting more and more from the government. The government is the taxpayer. All these are like the horse leech and her daughters that you read about in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 15, crying, give, give, give me more, give me more, give me more. The result of that is poverty and loss of personal wealth. And the fact that your retirement that you one time had is now gone or severely depleted, some people's wiped out altogether. Say, preacher, what do we do about all this? It reminds me of what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I'm thankful that that is truly a tax-free, what'd be a good way to put it? I don't know, but I'm glad there's a better life than this. I appreciate you tuning in today. Noah's going to give you the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. And we appreciate all of our listeners listening in, whether it's on WATA or WZAP. And I'll encourage you again, go to the church website and listen to that message, The Coming Insurrection. I believe you'll get a blessing out of it. And tell somebody else about it as well. Noah, thanks for your help. We'd love to hear from you.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wing Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. The church phone number is 828-963-4596, 828-963-4596, or you can contact us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.